Good evening and welcome back to Sports Talk ATL. I am Chase Earl, joined by Alex Lord. Great show for you today. The Jaguars hired Ryan Nielsen. We're going to discuss that later. The Falcons are impressed by several candidates, giving several second interviews. Charlie Culberson, he is back with the Braves. I don't know if a lot of Braves fans know that, but in a new position, he is going to try to be a relief pitcher for the Atlanta Braves. But we're going to start off with the conversation that we've been discussing for weeks now, and it's going to continue, it looks like, for several weeks, and that is Bill Belichick. There's a latest report from Josh Kendall of The Athletic, a Falcons beat writer from The Athletic, saying that it is not Bill Belichick or bust. What that means, you can say whatever, but basically he said there are other options out there. I don't think until there's pen to paper, that has always been the case. The real question is, how seriously are they taking these interviews, which we talked about yesterday, and a report that you talked about from Bill Simmons, and I want you to say it, but basically this comes from Bill Simmons. This is something that we've talked about several times, and it's Rich McKay's involvement in this entire hiring process, along with Terry Fontenot.
Yeah, basically, let me get it pulled up for a second. It's really just reiterating the same points that Mike Florio was the very first one to kind of bring this up. And this was brought up in season before Arthur Smith was even fired. Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk founder, still operates it. Basically was like, you know, rumblings about Arthur Smith's job security. He was like, hey, where is Rich McKay in all of this? You know, he's involved in football operations. At that point, we didn't know how involved. Post Arthur Smith firing, we realized he was heavily involved in day-to-day operations. And basically it's like, what is going on with Rich McKay in all of this? And so most recently, now Bill Simmons isn't an NFL insider, so I don't know exactly, you know, how we should consider all this, but it seems like he's very plugged in. Basically, this is from Bill Simmons. Basically, Arthur Blank wants to hire Bill Belichick, and all the front office people in Atlanta don't want to hire Belichick because it's like any big company. Sport franchises are like microcosms of all big companies. The people that run the franchise, they want to keep their jobs. They're in job preservation mode. So they're like, maybe we hire Raheem Morse. Yeah, hire Raheem Morse. He's young. We'll be able to keep our job for five more years. I don't know how accurate that is. Just from where I sit and all the information I've taken in, that seems exactly on par with what is going on internally. And I have skepticisms about Josh Kendall's reporting. Not that like he doesn't have sources, but I think that these are calculated, planted sources that are coming from inside the building of the Falcons. And same with Michael Rothstein, both Atlanta beat writers. You know, basically somebody on the inside is saying, you know, no, the search is still wide open. And somebody from inside wants you to believe that, whether it's coming from the head guy, Arthur Blank, and trickle down, or Rich McKay, or a subordinate of one of the two. I don't know, but it all feels very fishy to me. And I have not, I'm not going to stray on where I think the Falcons are going to land. It's going to be Bill Belichick. And they're just trying to make it seem like this process has been thorough when, in fact, maybe it's not.
Well, I think the process to a degree is thorough because what you just mentioned, I think what Bill Simmons is saying, that's something that we've talked about several times. We've talked about where Terry Fontenot's job lands in all this if Bill Belichick is hired. We've talked about Rich McKay being fired if Bill Belichick, and those are two things that we have discussed. So I believe both of those things to be true. So I think this search, as long as those two are involved, is legitimate. Now, here's the other aspect of it. Arthur Blank wants Bill Belichick. There hasn't been a report that has strayed away from that at any moment. And ultimately, he's going to be the deciding factor. Does he want to part ways with Rich McKay? And maybe, I don't know what Terry Fontenot is involved. Maybe he sticks with Terry Fontenot. Maybe he's still involved in the pro personnel side of things. But obviously, you know, his role will diminish even further if Bill Belichick is hired. So I think Arthur Blank wants him. The question now is, can these guys, Rich McKay and Terry Fontenot, sit through these interviews and come up with a candidate that can kind of change Arthur Blank's mind? I think that's literally where we're at. So someone's going to have to come in there and wow him, and wow him to the point that he is totally just almost forgets where he would prefer Rich McKay and Terry Fontenot in this candidate over Bill Belichick. And I think that's where we're at. And not only that, that candidate's going to have to want to be with the Falcons. So a guy that I think, you know, could potentially do this for Arthur Blank, Jim Harbaugh. Like, that's the easiest one. I could totally see that. I believe they have interest in Jim Harbaugh, and I believe that interest they would go with Terry Fontenot, Rich McKay, and Jim Harbaugh over Bill Belichick. You know the biggest issue is that? He's probably not going to choose Atlanta over Michigan and Los Angeles. So not only is someone going to have to come in there and wow them, it's going to have to be someone that also wants to take the Falcons job over every other job.
Yeah, we said this to begin with when we were kind of ranking the openings and what's to like about the Falcons job and what's not to like. Well, one of the biggest things that has continually turned away candidates, Jeff Schultz, he's recently retired, but is still as plugged in as any Atlanta beat writer ever. Jeff Schultz came out, I think it was yesterday after we recorded the show, and basically said that, you know, Rich McKay's involvement in the organization has been a problem in hiring cycles past for general managers and head coaches. That is not going to change. It's a very weird structure. And I know the craziest thing is Rich McKay tried to lie to our face about how this was the structure of the future. And a lot of teams are doing this now. No, don't believe that malarkey. The fact of the matter is this is an abnormal management structure, and not a lot of head coaches are going to want to have to report and kind of have a middleman to the owner, where Rich McKay is that middleman CEO to the GM too. And I want to add one more thing, and this is, I know I'm going on a rant here. Terry Fontenot should put his foot down and have enough of this. He is getting drugged through the mud. I mean, what is his role? He's in limbo. If they hire Bill Belichick, is he going to have any say in anything? If I'm Terry Fontenot, I'm stepping away. I really would. This is absolutely crazy to put up with this kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree, and I do question if any of these candidates will want the Falcons job with McKay involved and be enough to blow Arthur Blank away, but I think that that is where we're at. So we're going to talk about some of those candidates. Which candidates could the Falcons be blown away with and perhaps go with them over Bill Belichick? It's full steam ahead when talking about the Atlanta Falcons head coaching search. And while Bill Belichick still appears to be the front runner, there is now, you know, some other names have entered their name into the ring. We've got the two defensive guys from the Ravens, Anthony Weaver and Mike McDonald, two guys that I think we both like. Also from the Lions, we've got Aaron Glenn and Ben Johnson. Obviously, Ben Johnson, one of the hottest offensive minds. And then they were also reportedly very impressed with Bobby Slowick in his first interview, and he now has a second interview.
Yeah, obviously, there's a couple of these candidates that we absolutely love. I'm particularly impressed with the Ravens guys. Mike McDonald has had some of the best young offensive minds, their offenses, in a blender. And I get the Ravens have a lot of, you know, talent on the defensive side of the ball, but Mike McDonald's scheme is second to none on that side of the ball. And I know that everybody's worried about, you know, well, who's going to coach the offense? You know, who's going to coach the quarterback? And those are all fine questions. The quarterback is going to have to be answered regardless of who's the head coach. And that's a fine answer. And that's where I kind of turn to Anthony Weaver. He's an assistant head coach to John Harbaugh in Baltimore. He specializes in the defensive line. But on his profile on the Ravens official team website, they said that he had, you know, a significant impact in bringing Todd Monken. You know, a lot of Georgia fans watching this, everybody knows who Todd Monken is and who has elevated Lamar Jackson in that Baltimore offense. For all intents and purposes, it was a home run of a hire. So if you're concerned about a guy who's kind of like that CEO, John Harbaugh-esque guy that is going to be able to make hires, Anthony Weaver feels like he might be the best of both worlds.
Yeah, I mean, if there's a candidate out there, and there's very few candidates that can ever compare to this guy, so I hate making this kind of comparison, but if there is one out there that kind of strikes you as like the Mike Tomlin type, that's kind of what Anthony Weaver strikes me. Now, obviously, he'd have to go on and have one of the best coaching careers that we've seen in this generation, but I'm just saying that's kind of what it reminds me. Like, Mike McDonald, I mean, you talk about a guy who's not – he's had these guys in a straitjacket. I mean, we're talking about some of the best – we're talking about Kyle Shanahan. We're talking about a league that has been taken over by basically the Kyle Shanahan coaching tree, and this guy has gone in there. Bobby Slowick, Kyle Shanahan. Outside of Sean McVay, the Rams had a good game.
And
Ben Johnson earlier in the year. The Ravens went out. Yeah,
Mike McDaniel. I said Mike McDonald.
Mike McDaniel. I mean, he's had these guys in a straitjacket, so – everyone wants the next sexy guy who has one of these Kyle Shanahan-esque offenses. Well, what about the guy who's literally putting them through hell? Because they've been the best offenses in the league all season until they meet up with the Ravens. And you can talk about their personnel. It ain't the 1985 Bears personnel over there. Like, right. It's good, but it's still, this is an offensive league, and it takes a coaching scheme along with that talent to stop these kind of offenses the way that they have.
Yeah, and another guy that came up was Bobby Slowick, who, you know, Mike McDonald certainly got the best of. And granted, Houston was playing with house money. The Texans offense wasn't necessarily ready to compete with the top dogs in the league. We all believe C.J. Stroud's going to be an absolute monster, a force to be reckoned with for the next decade plus. But the fact of the matter is he still needs more help. Nico Collins isn't enough. Tank Dell wasn't even able to play in that Ravens game. So although that we think, you know, the Texans are up and coming, they're not there yet. And Bobby Slowick, you know, you want to talk about the most successful coaching tree right now is the Shanahan coaching tree. Every single guy who has gotten hired has had pretty much immediate success. And Bobby Slowick is that next branch off of the Shanahan tree. So if you're a Falcons fan, that's got to feel appealing to kind of dip back into that 2016 Falcons well that had Mike McDaniel, Matt LaFleur, and Kyle Shanahan all on that offense. So I think that Bobby Slowick is an interesting guy. That came from Jesse Palmer. But then Steve Wyche, who's a national reporter, but, you know, cut his teeth in Atlanta, said they were very impressed. So he emphasized the fact that the Falcons were very impressed with Bobby Slowick.
Yeah, and we haven't even mentioned the sexiest candidate here, which is Ben Johnson. I'm not talking about his looks, guys. He's going to be the hottest commodity of all of them. I think the biggest question with Ben Johnson, everyone's been tying him to that Washington job. Obviously, they have the number two overall pick. He's going to get the Caleb Williams or the Drake May or even the Jaden Daniels if that's who he prefers. He's going to get whoever he wants. They also have a ton of cap space. They have a new owner. It's not like he's going under Dan Snyder. And then that old question comes up with all these candidates. If they get another opening, do they want to answer to guys like Rich McKay and go through that weird structure that we just talked about? Because as I said, everyone's talking about this from a Bill Belichick perspective, but I think it's an everybody perspective. I think there's a reason why they had to go the Arthur Smith route, because they wanted to get Rich McKay in there and stuff like that. So if they really want guys that are going to get multiple head coaching offers to take this job, they're going to have to make a decision on Rich McKay, you would think, or they're going to have to settle for someone that maybe they're very impressed with, but it's kind of like the first year guy that, hey, this is my only opportunity. Of course, I'm going to take this.
It's really a shame. I spoke about Jeff Schultz kind of illuminating Rich McKay's role and, you know, how Arthur Blank basically, you know, relieved him of football operations duty when he brought aboard Thomas Dimitroff and Mike Smith. And then when those two were fired, Mike Smith and then Dan Quinn was brought on. And then when those two were fired, Quinn and Dimitroff, Rich McKay, according to Schultz, Jeff Schultz, very reputable reporter, he basically, you know, these are my words, he weaseled his way back into football operations and was very involved in day-to-day operations with Arthur Smith and Terry Fontenot. So it's so bothersome to see this, you know, it's an infestation in the Falcons organization. It really is. I'm so bothered by it. And it's going to keep the Falcons from, like you said, that's the most agonizing part. It's going to keep the Falcons from really getting those top candidates.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly feels like they're going to have to fire Rich McKay if they want to get one of those guys. And we've talked about this with Arthur Blank on several occasions. His biggest downfall is his friendships, his relationships with players, with coaches. And now you see it with Rich McKay. I mean, this guy is his best friend. This is the guy that helped bring Mercedes-Benz Stadium to Atlanta, which everyone loves, and which Arthur Blank, that's like his baby as much as, and on top of that, he's involved in other sports. He's involved with the Atlanta United. He's involved with other things that he is. So it's not just the Atlanta Falcons. And like you said, he weaseled his way in, and now he's going to be forced to make a tough decision whether I fire my best friend so we can, because that's what's best for the organization. And we're all sitting here like, this isn't that tough a decision, but we're not in the position of power.
The thing is it feels very simple. Take away football operation decision-making power. Like, you can still be on the competition committee. You can run Mercedes-Benz, the A and B group. Rich McKay, feel free, you know, run the off-the-field stuff for the Falcons, but get your hand out of day-to-day operations.
Yeah, it sounds simple, but unfortunately, it doesn't seem simple. Coming up after the break, Ryan Nielsen. We know he will not be Atlanta. He's now the defensive coordinator in Jacksonville. While we don't yet know who will be the next head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, we do know defensive coordinator Ryan Nielsen, who was the instructor of one of the best Falcons defenses of my lifetime and experienced a huge jump. One of the better defensive coordinators, if not the best defensive coordinators the Falcons have had. He is going to Jacksonville to beat their defensive coordinators. Originally, this was blocked by the Falcons. For whatever reason, they changed their mind. And I think the reason is obvious. They interviewed what they believed to be their top head coaching candidates. And they probably all said, nah, we want to bring in our own guys. So they started letting these guys like Ryan Nielsen, who is a coveted defensive coordinator on the market, interview with other teams.
Yeah, Marquise Williams, special teams coordinator, and Dwayne Ledford, offensive line coach, also were blocked, and then they were allowed to interview subsequently. After what I also believe, Chase, is, you know, Arthur Blank or Rich McKay or Terry Fontenot, whoever, basically, you know, had envisioned a little bit of continuity among the organization, keeping Nielsen and at least that side of the ball kind of connected. Hopefully, you know, somebody like Calais Campbell would return. And the fact of the matter is that's kind of unrealistic. Most head coaches want to get their guys in the building. And that's typical with any business. You know, you don't want to be forced into any kind of marriage. So it was always unrealistic for Ryan Nielsen to be the defensive coordinator under a new head coach. But with that being said, I mean, Jacksonville is getting a hell of a defensive coordinator. I know the Falcons spent a ton of money on the defensive side of the ball. That's where they allocated most of their free agent dollars. But the fact of the matter is Ryan Nielsen's impact cannot be understated. I mean, the Falcons doubled their sack total. They went from a bottom two defense in terms of points and total yards to around league average. And I think that, you know, you could even, you know, go a bit higher and they would have sniffed the top 10 if Grady Jarrett had not gotten injured. He was such a pivotal piece of that defense. So, it is going to be painful to replace him, but let's also not get it conflated, guys. I see people are talking about, like, you know, this is doomsday. This is the end of the world. Just like there's a lot of great offensive minds, there's a lot of great defensive minds too. There's always new guys, just like a parking lot. People are coming in and out. It's the same thing in the workforce. There will be another guy. There's plenty of options. And, you know, if you hire a guy like Mike McDonald, you don't need to worry about the defensive side of the ball or Bill Belichick. For as much flack as I give Bill Belichick as a head coach, the guy was still fielding top 10 defenses year in, year out.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt about Bill Belichick and his defensive pedigree. And there's other defensive coaches at the Falcons interview. We just talked about Anthony Weaver, Aaron Glenn. But I agree with you on Nielsen. I mean, we were talking about this defense. I mean, it was a bottom five defense for about three straight years. And we were like, oh, if we could just get to league average. And we got to league average at the end of the season. And I know people were talking about there was like a three-week stretch there where we weren't that good. Well, that one, that happens. Two, it's not like the Falcons were loaded defensively. Three, they lost their heart and soul of their defense in Grady Jarrett. And then they ended the season strong outside of that last game against New Orleans. So, yeah, I mean, he was instrumental to that. The Falcons with Grady Jarrett were a top 10 defense in football, and I don't think I was ever going to say that at any point of being a Falcons fan. I mean, that felt like an absolute pipe dream, especially after just one offseason. Like, I know we got an influx of talent and stuff like that, but as I just said, I know I said the Ravens weren't the 1985 Bears. This was not the most talented group. There were a ton of holes.
Yeah, and to kind of piggyback off of that, those holes still exist. So the Falcons are going to have to be busy. I know we were much improved on that side of the ball, but we're still going to need somebody opposite A.J. Terrell. Will Clark Phillips fill that role? I don't know. Calais Campbell, Bud Dupree, both of those guys are going to be gone. Are you going to roll with Richie Grant again? There's a bunch of questions that are going to have to be answered over the offseason. And on the flip side, for Jacksonville, a guy like Trayvon Walker, number one overall pick, a lot of our listeners, Georgia fans, he hasn't had the career that maybe some people had envisioned, though this past year he sniffed double-digit sacks. Ryan Nielsen is going to be a godsend for Trayvon Walker. Maybe Calais Campbell returns the return of Saxonville. Jacksonville should be very, very, very happy getting Ryan
Nielsen. Yeah, I mean, Jacksonville was an underachieving unit. There's no doubt about that for the amount of talent, especially on the edge with Trayvon Walker, Josh Allen, and those
Josh
guys.
Josh Allen, yeah.
And yeah, so they got a great one. Coming up after the break, Charlie Culberson is back with the Braves organization, but in a new role. He's not going to be that super utility guy. He's going to be a pitcher. Braves fan favorite Charlie Culberson is back with the organization on a minor league deal. And this is one of the more underrated storylines that happened a couple weeks ago. And I was kind of like, I think Braves fans have always said, oh man, Charlie Culberson could be a pitcher. I mean, we've seen him. I think he has 7.1 career innings, most of which came with the Braves. I think he's given up one earned run. So he's got some pretty good numbers, but he is going to basically be in the Braves minor league system as a pitcher. And knowing the Braves, knowing how pitching injuries can happen, I know they have a ton of depth. It's going to be hard for him to carve out a role, but I cannot wait to see Charlie Culberson, the pitcher, throwing 95 mile per hour BBs and seeing if he can carve out a little. I mean, when you talk about the ultimate utility man, I mean, this is the definition.
This is a Disney movie. I mean, this is the rookie. This is basically the rookie. I mean, this is just a hilarious story. Obviously, everybody in Braves country loves Charlie Morton, wants him to succeed. Like, everybody would love for him to succeed as a reliever in the organization one way or the other, whether injuries arise or he's just that damn good. But this is crazy. That there's just no way, right? There's just absolutely no way, right? I mean, I know he's a super athlete. He can do a lot of things really good. But can he do one thing great? I have a hard time believing it. I've been wrong before, but this feels like a Disney movie more than anything.
I mean, it will be a Disney movie if it works out. I mean, just imagine some scenario where not only he succeeds in this role, he gets an opportunity in the majors, he has success, and yes, he's not going to end up being the closer for the Atlanta Braves, but what if he becomes a middle reliever or something like that? I mean, you are literally talking about a Disney script, and I think it'll be almost kind of comical, because if he does end up making the majors, whether it's with the Braves or any other club, because listen, like, the Braves have a ton of pitching depth, and maybe it doesn't work out in Atlanta, but he can easily ask out. The Braves aren't going to be like, oh no, we got to hold on to you for the most likely. And he could get an opportunity with another club. And even if it's with like the Royals or a struggling team like the Pirates or something like that, and he gets the opportunity, he has some success. I mean, you have to look back on his career and be like, hey, maybe you were doing the wrong thing the entire time. You got some poor coaching or something, or some poor advice, because there's no doubt that he has the arm to do it. I don't think that he literally can hum it in the mid-90s. We'll see what that secondary stuff can do.
Speed is never the problem. It's like control in the secondary offerings. I mean, there's plenty of guys who can hum it 95 miles an hour. It's just, can you get it in the strike zone?
Yeah, I mean, I'm still waiting to see Ronald Acuna on the mound.
Yeah.
He might hum it up there in the high 90s. But yeah, I think this is going to be a fun storyline to watch. I mean, when you think about how grinding and grueling a season is over 162 games, not just for the players, but for the fans, oftentimes when you're 8 games up in the division, you're looking for things to keep an eye on elsewhere. I'm going to be watching. I am going to be watching. I will watch Gwinnett Stryper's games this year to see Culberson come into the game and pitch. I will be keeping an eye on that.
Disney stuff, Savannah Banana stuff. I mean, if it works out, I'll eat crow, but this seems absolutely crazy, dude. Family time, Charlie, buddy. I think maybe, you know, just maybe.
In my opinion, it's already worked out. The fact that he has a minor league contract to attempt to become a pitcher, he has made it further than everyone else on the planet.
I think that was just a nice gesture by Anthopoulos.
I don't know. I will be watching. I will be watching closely. Coming up after the break, DeJounte Murray, he looks like he's going to be traded. But what will the package look like? Everyone's favorite Atlanta sports organization, the Atlanta Hawks. They went from the top of the league, nearly making the NBA Finals, to potentially being able to win. I mean, the Bucks, who, if Trae Young doesn't get injured, who knows? Maybe they win the NBA Finals. It would have been crazy, because the very next year they turned into the definition of mediocrity. That continued the next year, and now they've fallen below that line. And we've talked several times over the last several years about how they needed to blow this thing up. They needed to do a retool. It looks like they're finally going to do this, because frankly, they don't have a choice. I mean, they're 7 games under 500. They're not even looking like a play-in team. The DeJounte Murray thing has not worked out. DeAndre Hunter has not progressed. Clint Capella has regressed. John Collins is gone. Like, the only positive light on this entire organization is Trae Young. So it looks like they're finally going to make some big moves over the next, couple of weeks leading into the trade deadline. And the one that everyone's talking about is DeJounte Murray. Shams had a report. Alex, you have it right in front of you. I want you to read it off of like a reported potential deal with the Los Angeles Lakers. And frankly, it should make all Hawks fans a little bit queasy inside.
That the initial conversations had the Lakers giving up D'Angelo Russell, a 2029 first round pick, and another pick swap. And then he went on to add that the holdup was Atlanta wanted to find a third team for D'Angelo Russell. He's got a player option for next season. They wanted to find a spot where they might be able to get an expiring contract back. So it's not even to get a pick for D'Angelo Russell. It's just to get that salary off the books. And let me remind everybody what the Hawks initially gave up for DeJounte Murray. 3 first-round picks and another pick swap and Danilo Gallinari, but that was more just to, you know, contracts for sake. 3 first-round picks and a pick swap, and we are going to give him away for a 2029 first-round pick and a pick swap. That is absolutely egregious management from the Atlanta Hawks. If anything close to that happens, I will be up in arms. I will be at Atlanta Hawks games with fire Tony Wrestler. Well, it'll be sell the team Tony Wrestler shirts on, because that is absolutely egregious. This team has made every single wrong turn since reaching the Eastern Conference Finals a few years ago.
Yeah, I do think Hawks fans have to block out what they sent to the Spurs. When looking towards the future, you have to block it out of your mind, because in a way it is a sunk cost. But a reminder, man, we did sign this guy DeJounte Murray to a pretty team-friendly
deal. Incredibly.
And the guy's playing good basketball. Like, no one is sitting here saying DeJounte Murray has lost any value as a player on the court. Now, he may have lost some value because the Hawks suck and the pairing sucked, and it probably never should have happened. So you're not going to get all of the stuff that you sent to the Spurs back in a trade. But this definitely seems on the extreme lighter side. I mean, you're talking about a guy who's 29 first round pick. It better not be lottery protected. Like, it better be in hopes that the Lakers suck in 2029 and you're trying to get a lottery ball in 2029. But even then, from a Hawks fan's perspective and everything, I mean, we're talking about 5 years down the road getting a first round pick for a guy that you just gave up 3 first round picks, that those picks haven't even left the Hawks yet. They're about to leave them over the next 3 drafts. So you don't have any first round picks now because of this trade. You basically have Trae Young. Maybe you can ship off some other guys for some picks and stuff. But I mean, the future of this organization doesn't just look bleak. I mean, it is disgusting. And it goes further than just what the assets that the Hawks have. It's the guys running the organization.
Yeah. We got first-timers in charge here, Chase. We got a bunch of first-timers. We've got a Landry Fields, first-time GM. We've got a Kyle Korver, first-time executive in general. And we've got Tony Wrestler's son, Nick Wrestler, in a very prominent position in the front office. We have absolutely no experience in our front office. I have no trust that they're going to get this right. I love Kyle Korver as a person. As far as Landry Fields has been, he seems great. But this is different. This is business. I have never been more pessimistic. I thought Quinn Snyder could get the most out of DeJounte Murray and Trae Young. And the fact is because the Hawks are on pace for a franchise record offensive efficiency. The only problem is we're on a record pace for defensive inefficiency. So I don't know what the answer is. At least we got Jalen Johnson. That was another bright spot you missed.
Yes, I do agree. You do have Jalen Johnson. And if you compare those guys with another guy that's a better fit than DeJounte Murray, I think the Hawks got a little something brewing here. To me, and I think this is what Hawks fans have trouble with, is like, I would rather just keep DeJounte Murray until the end of time than trade him for 1 first-round pick 5 years down the road.
He's 20 points, 5 assists, and 5 rebounds every single night. He's shooting from 3-point land more efficiently than he ever has in his career. And he owes a very palatable contract. How is that worth the first round pick 5 years down the road in a pick swap? That's a Bleacher Report trade hypothetical. That's what that is.
Well, and then you see Terry Rozier just got traded to the Heat, I believe, for a 2027 first round pick. I mean, we can't even get a 2027 first round pick. I mean, we can't get anything for this guy. I mean, he's on a palatable deal for multiple years. Nothing about his game has shown that he's regressed, other than the fact that maybe he's playing with Trae Young and they're just not good at divvying up the ball as much as it just hasn't worked. It just hasn't worked. But I don't think selling this low makes a lot of sense. But at the same time, you got to clear the contract if you're going to bring in another contract. The Hawks are in bad bad standing with the salary cap moving forward. They're in bad standing with their draft capital moving forward. And as we just said, they're in bad standing in the front office and with their ownership. So
what are we clearing the books for? What are we clearing the books for? Tony Ressler has shown no inclination to get even close to the luxury tax. In fact, it's been the opposite. Every move the Hawks have done have been to get away from the luxury tax. The mid-level exception wasn't even used this offseason. I mean, what are we clearing the books for? It's a rhetorical question, but I'm just so pessimistic about this organization. This and the Falcons are just dumpster fires. Thank goodness for the Atlanta Braves.
These guys make the Falcons look like geniuses. Make the Falcons look good. Arthur Blank is paying Tony Ressler to make the organization look worse because the Falcons are a mess. I mean, we can talk all day, and we've talked all day, you know, over several weeks of this entire coaching search, how they're a mess and how we do not trust the organization. The Hawks take it to an entirely different level. I mean, seriously, an entirely different level. They have an owner that doesn't want to spend as much as possible to win. They have an owner that's has lied to our faces several times. They don't have all their draft capital. They don't have any cap space like the Falcons. They don't have it really. The only good two good pieces, the only two good things are Trae Young and Jalen Johnson. And those are two guys that are fun to watch. So I guess maybe people will still go to games, but if I were to say anything, I would encourage Hawks fans not to go to games.
If they do anything close to that trade that we mentioned from Sham Sharania, I would encourage Trae Young to get out of this city while his prime years are still ahead of him.
Yeah,
because it's not going to get better.
It almost seems inevitable because this problem does not seem like it's going to be fixed anytime soon. Coming up after the break, we are going to give some of our final thoughts so far on the Atlanta Falcons head coach search. The Atlanta Falcons head coaching search is just a bunch of rumors and reports and sifting through what you believe to be true, what you believe to be planted. Who are they actually impressed with? Who would actually be interested in coming here? Is Bill Belichick the clear front runner? It's a mess. It's turned into a mess. If the Falcons were trying to lay a smoke screen, they have done a damn good job of it, because you have so many reports now coming from so many different people and so many of them are conflicting that I want to ask where your final thoughts on all of this are. You know, what are you feeling? Who do you think's the front runner? What about the McKay thing? Just kind of an overall feeling of what you think's really going on behind all of this smoke.
Before I give you an answer, I think that what you just said is just, you know, kind of enlightening, that no other candidacy or vacancy has been surrounded with this kind of rumor report. It's Belichick. We're impressed with all of these candidates. The search is wide open. It isn't Bill Belichick or bust. Rich McKay versus Bill Belichick. The Falcons are embroiled in drama right now. Let's not get it confused. Whereas, like, you go look at the Chargers, and the Chargers feel like, you know what, they actually do feel like it's Jim Harbaugh or bust for the Chargers. And then, you know, you got the Titans already made their decision, and Brian Callahan, that was a potential Falcons head coach that we were going to interview for the second time. Tennessee didn't let him out of the building. So, you know, it feels like everybody is kind of on the straight and narrow except the Falcons. I don't know what to believe, really. I have, you know, my internal beliefs, and they're very, you know, I'm a very opinionated guy. So I'll just tell you, I think that the Atlanta beat writers are being sold a false story. And basically, they do have sources within the building, but those stories are being planted for a reason, to kind of throw us off the Bill Belichick trail. I'm not going to, unless I see new information from national reporters, the Schefters, the Rappaports, the Pelisseros of the world, I'm not going to believe that anything other than Bill Belichick is coming for Atlanta. I truly do believe Arthur Blank is prioritizing the win now. Rich, you've been a really good friend, a loyal teammate kind of to me, but Bill Belichick is available. I lost out on Joe Gibbs. I lost out on Bill Parcells. I'm not going to lose out on a third Hall of Fame head coach. Can you take a step back in football operations so we can have Bill Belichick here? Will you do that for me? That's what I think is going to happen. I'm barring some unforeseen circumstance where Bill Belichick has interest elsewhere, which, you know, to our understanding is not the case. It feels like the Falcons are the only team interested in Bill Belichick. Blank is enamored with the Patriot way. I'm not thrown off this trail of Bill Belichick by a couple of Atlanta beat writers having sources within Flowery Branch. I'm not thrown off by any means.
Yeah, I think I'm sticking on the straight and narrow, and I'm going to even go a step further. And this isn't reporting or anything like that. It's simply just my opinion. I think Arthur Blank, all the reports of him wanting Bill Belichick are 100% true. I think that has been reported by just about everyone. You just go look at the Thomas Dimitroff hire, the Scott Pioli hire, the wanting Bill Parcells, the wanting like this all like he wants Bill Belichick. He wants to win now. He is 100% sold. Or I don't want to say 100% because I do want to leave the door open. Because here's what I also believe. I also believe Bill Belichick is very interested in the Atlanta Falcons. There's a reason why this is the only job interview that he's taken. And I think partly it's because interest isn't as hot as many might have expected. But I do think there's another part where he's not taking interviews where he's not even interested. I think he likes the idea of Atlanta, a smaller market. He likes the idea of an owner, an Arthur Blank, who is going to be willing to give him autonomy, going to be willing to give him a leash, going to be willing to give him control. I think that marriage right there, is that those two want each other. Now there's this little sliver of this door that is open, right? Where you have Rich McKay and Terry Fontenot kind of thinking, and it could be what's best for the organization. Listen, we're not all sold on Bill Belichick, but they obviously, I completely believe that the reports about them not wanting Bill Belichick, because then their jobs hang in the balance. Obviously, Rich McKay, we assume, is gone at Bill at Belichick. Terry Fontenot's role certainly diminished. If it's not head's role as well, they are going to sit there, all three of them, go through every single one of their candidates, and they are going to try to convince Arthur Blank that one of these guys is a better option. And it's going to be up to Arthur Blank, obviously, at the end of the day. I don't think he's going to be swayed. He might, but as I said at the beginning, he has to be swayed by a candidate that also wants to come into Atlanta with this mess, with Rich McKay involved and stuff like that. I don't think the sexiest candidates, your Jim Harbaughs, stuff, Ben Johnsons, are going to want to step into that mess. You're going to be looking at your next round of guys, which we still like, Bobby Slowick maybe. He could get somewhere else too. Mike McDaniel perhaps. But I think you're going to have to go there. They're going to have to convince him that a first year head coach is a better option than Bill Belichick. And I think that is a really hard deal to sell based on what we know with Arthur Blank's infatuation with Belichick and wanting to win right now.
Yeah, I'll play both sides of the fence here because I don't like either option. I don't like Rich McKay sticking around, and I sure as hell don't want Bill Belichick coaching the Atlanta Falcons because it feels like a desperation move to win a Super Bowl right now, yet this roster with this current crop of guys isn't ready to compete for a Super Bowl right now. We don't even have a quarterback. We're going to go the veteran route. I don't love that. You know, maybe Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is by far and away the best option for a Bill Belichick coach Falcons team. And there's no guarantees he's going to leave the Vikings. If you don't land Kirk Cousins, you are in a world of hurt with what's left over. I mean, there's a significant drop off in quarterback play among the veterans from Kirk Cousins. So you better hope that, you know, Bill Belichick draw still, he still has some cachet, and I certainly do believe he does. But the fact of the matter is I can find a silver lining in either one. Bill Belichick comes to Atlanta, Rich McKay is probably out. If Bill Belichick doesn't come, I still like that because he's not my first choice. He's going to be 72 years old. What is this, a 2 or 3 year plan so he can pass? I'm blanking on the record. Sorry. Don Shula's all-time winningest record. I mean, this is a joke. This is an absolute joke. We're going to play him for 2 years and do this whole song and dance again in 2 or 3 years. No, that's crap. That's desperation.
Yeah, I mean, I think the best of both worlds is we maybe a guy like Jim Harbaugh says the same thing that Bill Belichick. It is like, I don't want Rich McKay, but I do like the Falcons. And maybe that's another thing that I don't think that's going to happen. But I think when you're talking about the only way the Falcons get the best of both worlds is with Jim Harbaugh saying something like that. Because
even the best of three worlds, because that would mean Terry Fontenot's role would, you know, maybe even expand potentially. And I think he's done great at his job. He deserves more responsibility, in my opinion.
Yeah. So if you're a Falcons fan and you just listen to this whole thing, pray for Jim Harbaugh. Like, pray that something comes up in a dream. God told him to come to Atlanta or something like that. Because I think that's our best case of getting Rich McKay out, not getting Belichick, and getting one of the hottest head coaching hires, maybe the hottest head coaching name on the entire market. So pray for that. Don't think it's going to happen, but I think that's our best shot. That wraps up our show for this evening. Thank you guys so much for joining us. We will be back with you on Wednesday.